What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is continuing coverage.
The Black Swan murder trial of Ashley Benefield from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Now back to the courtroom.
Ashley, did Doug admit to placing an illegal tracker on your vehicle?
Yes, in a message to me.
Did you report that to the police?
Yes.
What was the result?
No charges.
Were there incidents, Ashley, where Doug would appear unexpectedly?
Yes, a lot.
And how would that come about? Can you give us an example?
I'd be driving down the road and I'd see him in the rearview mirror, a couple cars behind me, or he'd be right behind me. Or sometimes he would show up at places that I was just unexpected. I'd see him, or like in the parking lot.
And was this while you were living here in Manatee?
Yes, I was living here.
And where was Doug living at the time?
In South Carolina.
How could he do that?
He was driving here.
Was this also during the time that the South Carolina injunction was in place?
Both then and after as well.
Did you report those incidents to the police?
Yes.
What was the result?
No charges.
Was there an incident with a neighbor, Ashley?
Yes.
What happened?
Ashley,
were you present?
Yes.
For the incident?
Yes. He was outside in the yard at night looking in the windows of my house.
What is the neighbor's name?
Marianne Croft.
And was this reported to the police?
Yes.
Did they respond?
Yes, they came out.
Was it daytime or nighttime?
It was nighttime.
In your presence, was an identification made that it was Doug?
Yes.
What was the result?
No charges.
Was there an incident, Ashley, where you and your mother came home to find someone in the driveway of your home?
Yes.
Who was it?
It was Doug.
What did he do when he saw you?
He was on foot in front of the house, and when he saw us, he took off running.
Did you call the police?
Yes, I had to call several times before they sent someone out.
Did they take a report?
They did, but by the time they finally got there, he was long gone.
What was the result?
No charges.
I want to introduce what we've marked as Defendants Exhibit 23 and 24. Can you identify that?
Yes.
What does 23 show?
23 is a picture of Doug with his shirt off. He's like taking a selfie.
And is that how Doug looked at or about the time of the shooting on the 27th?
Yes.
All right, and what does the next exhibit show?
It's also a picture of Doug with his shirt off. He's working out. He's like doing like a push-up, I guess.
Does that too accurately represent what Doug looked like on the day of the homicide?
Yes.
Your Honor, on behalf of the defense, we move those two exhibits into evidence.
Any objection? Received.
Just one or two more questions, Ashley. Was there a time back around May of 2000 where you wanted to learn about co-parenting with an abuser?
Yes. Previous
ruling. Sustained.
To the question, Your Honor, or to the line of inquiry?
To the question.
Okay. Did you take any steps, Ashley, to try to determine how to co-parent?
Yes.
All right. And what was that?
I did some Googling and reading to try to find helpful articles on what to do to make things
I'm
good.
I'm going to pass to you what we've had marked as defense composite exhibit 4, A, B, C, and D.
Can you approach?
Defendant's.
Oh, go ahead. It's got to be.
We'll pass you defendant's exhibit number 4.
No, I already ruled on authenticity in the past. So over the state's objection, admitted.
Thank you.
Take a look at exhibit 4A, Ashley. What's the date?
5/11/2020.
And did you do an internet search on 5/11/23?
2020, yes.
2020, rather?
Yeah.
And will you tell us what the subject you researched was?
Domestic co-parenting with an abuser.
All right, and would you go to exhibit 4B? What's the date of 4B?
5/11/2020.
Did you do an internet search then?
Yes.
What was the subject you researched?
Ask Amanda, how do I co-parent with an abuser?
Right, and 4C?
Yes.
What's the date of 4C?
5/11/2020.
And did you do an internet search then as well?
Yes.
What was the subject?
Co-parenting versus parallel parenting with an abusive ex, the Good Men Project.
All right, and lastly, 4D. What's the date of 4D?
5/11/2020.
Did you do an internet search?
Yes.
What was the subject?
6 tips to help you co-parent with an abusive ex.
All right, Your Honor, I think I'm finished if you just give me one moment. Actually, I'm going to pass you what's been previously admitted as defense exhibit number 6.
Okay.
Do you recognize it?
Yes.
What is it?
It's a whole chain of emails that were forwarded to me by my attorney.
And what is the date it was forwarded to you on?
It says Wednesday, September 23rd of 2020.
Did you read it?
Yes. I mean, do you want me to reread it now, or?
Did you read it when it was forwarded to you?
Yes.
No further questions, Your Honor.
All right, go ahead. Can the attorneys approach, please? Ms. Benefield, you can step down. You can take your water, you can step down.
Okay, should I?
Just leave everything there.
Okay, can I throw this out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Members of the jury, it's about 11:45, so I'm going to let you go on your lunch break at this point. If I could have you guys back downstairs in that jury assembly room by 1 o'clock, and when I say by 1 o'clock, maybe 5 till, because the goal will be to go ahead and get you on up here and get started right around 1 o'clock this afternoon. Please remember, do not discuss this case amongst yourselves in any way, shape, or form. Don't discuss it with anybody outside of this jury, and do not do any research, watch television, read articles, anything at all about the people, places, things, or legal topics we've heard anything about. All right, leave your notes just right there on your chair, and we'll see you back right at 1 o'clock. All right, you all can have a seat. Ms. Benefield, when we had taken that break earlier, I had instructed you that you're in the middle of your testimony. You still are, because now the state's going to have the opportunity to do its cross-examination. The rule of sequestration applies to you. You may not discuss your testimony, any questions that have been asked with you, anything about the case, including with your own attorneys and defense team. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Otherwise, you guys are free to go, and we'll see you back here. Just maybe a couple of minutes, as I said, state and defense. Maybe just a couple of minutes before 1 o'clock, with the goal of getting everybody up here and started right at 1.
Okay.
All right. Exhibits. The clerk's checking right now. Parties, stay still until the clerk tells me that she has all of the exhibits that have been entered or proffered. Wait. 4A through D you had proffered, but then you took them back?
I believe she
Okay,
has.
Those are the same ones?
Yes, sir.
You didn't remark new ones?
No.
All right. I need 13A, B. Defense 13A and B. Oh, you know what? Those weren't admitted.
Right. No, so they weren't admitted.
It was referenced and then that was it. Okay. All right, you guys are all set. Have a good lunch.
Thank you.
Please just talk to me.
Yeah, let me know if you find everybody.
In State versus Ashley Benefield. We've had our lunch break. It's about 1:08. I have both prosecutors and Mr. Taylor here along with Ms. Benefield. Before we get started, Ms. Benefield, we took our lunch break. I gave you the full warning that I give to all the witnesses that you've heard multiple times regarding sequestration. I was erroneous, however, because my instruction to the criminal defendant has to be modified slightly. You are allowed to meet and speak with your attorney over the break. I no sooner got upstairs than realized I gave you the full sequestration instruction. Now, there was no objection to it. Case law talks about if there's an objection to it or a deprivation of the right to counsel. But I want to make sure if there was any error, even arguable error, that I correct that now.
I appreciate it, Judge. We'll be able to get it all worked out.
Okay, so I'm happy if you want to take time to speak because you're allowed to. I'm happy to take a recess and give you that time if you need.
Thank you. We're fine.
All right, sir.
I think there will be a... pre-objection to something I intend to introduce. So.
Okay. Yeah, let's. If you know about them now, let's talk about them before we bring the jury in.
Well, I don't know which one's which. Could you reach out to which one is the bottle?
All right. Oh, you don't have to approach. We're, or unless you want to. Is it something we want to keep?
No.
Okay.
No. It's her fault because she walked first.
I did.
So I have State's Exhibit 103 and State's Exhibit 104.
Yes. It's their objection, so.
Okay. Yes. Objection.
Relevance is to the modeling photo. And mugshot, we submitted a memoranda to the court. It's pretty clear in case law mugshots are not admissible.
The case law is clear the mugshot is not admissible. But the relevance of both of those is to show before and after this incident so the jury can make their own determination if there's swelling on her face. And I did say when we had a pre-trial discussion about the mugshot, that I would not intend to enter it unless the defendant made it relevant by testifying that she had swelling on her face. So I do believe now that she said there was swelling on her face, I can introduce the mugshot that occurred weeks later to show.
I apologize.
I was done, I'm sorry.
Objecting party, rebuttal.
I know I wasn't able to introduce in the state's case in chief. I don't think they should be entitled to introduce at ours either.
Well, I think there was some evidence that was introduced. It all depended on what it was. Thank you both very much. 103, what did you refer that to? A modeling picture? It is a modeling picture showing the defendant's front face and down to the chest area. And 104 is, I've not compared it, but you say that's the booking photo that was taken when he's arrested. I was just checking because there's like a speck on it. I was checking to see if that was a paper speck or in the picture. So, yes, what we originally talked about, I don't agree that there's a blanket prohibition on the entry of a booking photo. It is a bit of a more unique situation if there was an erroneous decision not to allow one party or the other to introduce evidence during the other side's case in chief, it's a fairly simple remedy that the other party can just call them in their case in chief or in rebuttal, lay the proper predicate and introduce the evidence if it's admissible. In this situation, it's a little bit different, obviously. These would need to be authenticated by the defendant. If it gets improper, I'll allow it. The only thing I'm going to require, however, is the 104 is just to be referred to by the date. On such and such a date was your photo taken.
Judge, I respectfully disagree. There's no case law that says a jury cannot know that a person was arrested. The only case law is that a person cannot be made to sit at a trial in jail clothes. But there is no prohibition. They know she was arrested.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that helps substantiate the date that it was taken and the time that it was taken.
And I think you can ask her the date and time. So, yeah, no, overruled, of course.
Judge, just for the record, the state has still not received the order defense exhibit list that you instructed them to get.
Are there any other defense exhibits? Well, let's finish. Let's close this issue out.
Yes, sir.
All right, so defense is handed State 103 and 104 back. The question was asked regarding defense exhibits. I don't know what's left. I don't know what witnesses are being called or when, but do you have an exhibit list that complies with Rule 3.220?
I think we gave them all.
No?
Gave us 360-something items, file folders with multiple pages in each one. That does not comport with the rule. They need to tell us what they are going to introduce specifically.
Well, the rule calls for what do you intend to interest?
We have them share that with the prosecution today.
Prior to any other witnesses being called?
Yes.
Okay. Are you ready? State.
Judge, I just still would ask for a list because it's hard for us to when showing us them, I don't have the ability to recopy them and do all those things like I would have if I'd gotten the proper list. And so it's just hard for me to be able to then go find the things to be able to figure out if they're complete.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a mid-trial exhibit exchange. And we'll take a break. Maybe it'll be the mid-afternoon break. I have no idea.
Give them a list.
And you're going to get a list. And if not, you can go through them and you can write on a piece of paper exactly what they are. And if you say, I want a copy, they're going to give you a copy.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Problem solved. You ready? You ready to go?
Yes.
All right. When we finished, Ms. Benefield, you were on the stand. So if you could reposition yourself, please.
And if we could put the screen down and shut the blinds. Thank you.
Yeah. The clerk is going to leave the lights. Going to leave the lights as is. When you need the lights lowered, then let us know.
Okay. What number is that slash? I don't know what you're talking about. 52. I don't need it.
Oh. All right, bring in the jury. Y'all can have a seat. Welcome back, everybody. Over the lunch break, did anybody talk amongst yourselves or discuss the case in any way? Did anybody talk with anybody outside of the jury about the case? Or did anybody do any research on the people, places, things, or legal topics we've heard anything about?
No,
everybody says none. All right, State, you may begin your cross-examination.
I would like to just start with a couple of issues. So first, Benefield never punched you, ever, correct?
Yeah, I'd say that's correct.
Doug Benefield never choked you, ever?
No.
He never kicked you?
No.
He never pointed a gun at you?
He waved a gun in my direction.
But it was not pointed at you,
it right? was pointed at me while he was waving it at me.
He never came at you with a knife?
No.
Or a club?
No.
Or a baseball bat?
No.
So there are 30 years difference between you and Doug, correct?
Yes.
And you got married after 13 days?
Yes.
And you spoke with him about, or organized with him about, starting this ballet?
Yes.
Okay. And all of the money for the ballet came from him or investors, right?
My mom also funded the part of the ballet.
You didn't put anything into it, money?
Not from my account, no.
Okay. In fact, during this time in South Carolina, you never worked, did you?
He wouldn't let me work.
Okay. When you said in the very beginning he flew you to South Carolina to visit before you were married, he paid for that, correct?
Yes. Okay.
And the cruise you talked about going on, he paid for that?
No.
He didn't?
He did not pay for the cruise.
No. Okay.
Yeah, he paid for my friend to go, but I had already paid for my mom and I to go. So.
Okay, so he paid for your friend to go?
Yes.
And he did not go?
No. Mm-mm.
I want to ask you about the text messages that the defense talked to you about. It's going to be Defense Exhibit 3. I'm going to hand it to you. But I have the entirety of it on a spreadsheet that I'm going to put up, which is State's Exhibit 99. If we could dim the lights, please. And Judge, based on the rule of completeness, State would enter into evidence States 99.
Did you want to be heard in addition to what we said earlier?
I haven't actually seen the specific message.
Thank you.
Any objection to states 99? Proceed.
So I'm going to put this up on the board behind you, screen. Trying to get it to come up on the screen. So I would like to orient you to what we're looking at. So on the top line, it gives whether the messages are outgoing or incoming. That would be the third, fourth column that we're looking at. And what I would like you to do is read the body of these as we go through. I'm going to expand it so you can see it. And if you could just read these for the jury.
Okay. One part is just looking at Renee.
Who is that from you or from Doug?
It's from Doug to me. Okay.
So from Doug, one part is just looking at Renee. Okay, go ahead.
I'll tell that part to start. The day I met her, I felt her before I saw her. Oh. My ex-husband lived to argue. Renee and I maybe argued 5 times in 15 years, and even then ended up laughing. Smiley face. I'm a clown at heart and love people being happy. That seems like a hard act to follow. Baby. Like, always being armed. Yes, my love.
And the outgoing messages are you or Doug?
It looks like outgoing is... outgoing would be from Doug.
Judge, can we see the date for reference of the messages?
It's up on the screen.
Where?
So, yes, my love, I think was the last thing you said. And then what's the next thing?
Are you doing things that are dangerous?
And you're going to have to speak up just a little bit.
I'm sorry.
Here.
Are you doing things that are dangerous? To think of all the time that you were not with me and understanding them and how to conduct warfare in them for the kingdom.
Where was he when he was sending you these messages? While you were on the cruise?
I believe he would have been in Charleston.
Okay. He wasn't on a business trip?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Continue reading. All the other people.
And then a rectangle. It makes me so sad. And then another rectangle. If I dwelt on it, I would go into rage to remove them from the earth.
And your response to that?
Yes, baby. I hate it. It hurts. He said I could defend myself. You were easy prey for predators. You're sweet and want to please people, and they used that.
And you said, and then he said.
I desire to exterminate them and hold a challenge. They are rats that should be removed.
And you said.
Oh, baby, my love. Yes, like that night, last night, just the jerks arguing near you about put me in a sheer murderous mood, but I was stuck and I couldn't defend you. I said, thank you, baby, but I was okay. He said, but could have been a fight. Etc. Only you being with me will over time remove images in my head. It is same, and knowing you were taken advantage of in my mind makes me explode with anger to take them out. God made you for me. And I said, yes, baby. He said to enjoy the beauty he did craft on earth. I see Renee as Eva's mom, not my wife. It is strange, but...
Let me pull that back up.
He said, it is strange, but there is no emotional connection. I said, well, I'm glad. I just wish I could see it that way.
And you said, I'm glad. I wish I could see it that way. Were you talking about being jealous of his relationship with Renee?
I guess you could put it that way.
Okay. You can continue to read.
I know we both have a battle to fight in our minds. He was sitting on the mantle in the background. I'm crazy, I know. But it just killed my head, heart. I know I see you in my mind with a bad person, with your legs spread and a shitty person choking you out. That haunts me. I love you and I never want you. I'm sorry. Rectangle. Now all I see is some douchebag on top of you, fucking you with your legs, choking you out and fucking you more. Right now, I literally want to kill him or them. I said, baby, don't even think like that. He said, you haven't seen the warrior side and you never want to. I said, no one will ever touch me. I am yours. I don't. You are right. I want to see you only as my sweet and loving husband who is gentle to me and kind. He said, we went from joy and passion to now I'm in a testosterone rage inside. And who is always there and safe? That's what I said. And I said, let's not ruin the day. He said, but kill the bad people. Okay. And I said, tell me that you love me.
So this conversation was about things that you had told him that people had done to you, correct? When he's talking about, I'm imagining this, I'm imagining people choke you, he's talking about a conversation that you had had with him explaining that this had happened.
I think he was referring to on the cruise. One night I was talking to him on the phone, and I was sitting out in the hallway up at the top deck, and I was just trying to get somewhere where it'd be quiet so I could talk to him. And it was near, there was some like a bar or something up there, I think. I'm not sure. But people were coming in and out, like maybe a restaurant. And while we were talking,
I'm gonna stop you
he
there.
Heard.
Is the answer yes or no?
Did.
She needs to allow her to finish her answer, Your Honor.
Let me finish your answer.
He had heard a couple guys that were talking loudly, and he got upset because he thought these guys were going to hurt me. And so he had talked about then that he imagined that, you know, I was out in the world without him and that people were going to take advantage of me and that it was going to happen to me.
And he was afraid for your sake.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was saying that if anybody hurts you or he thinks about anybody hurting you, it sends him into a rage.
Yes.
And that scared you.
I'm sorry?
And that scared you.
Well, as I said earlier, at the time, I kind of, you know, played it off in my head that he was just my new husband who was trying to be protective and, like, show that he loved me by kind of being, you know, manly.
Okay. So, I want to talk about you having a baby. So, Doug had a vasectomy removal in April of 2017, right?
Yes.
And you paid for that?
Part of it went on my debit card or my credit card.
And your intention was to get pregnant?
Yes, we had talked about that, yeah.
Okay. And this was how many months after you were married?
We got married in September, so October, November, December, January, February, March, April, 7.
And was this... During this time, you said he had started criticizing you, right?
Mm-hmm.
About the way you looked, your clothes, the way you acted. He was, according to you, he flipped a table, tried to flip a table, threw a chair, right?
Yes.
He would scream at you.
Yes.
He would call you slut and whore.
Yes.
And you want a baby.
I mean, yeah, we were married. We wanted family.
Okay. So the vasectomy reversal happens, and I believe you said that this baby was a surprise. Is that what you said?
Well, we weren't, like, planning on it right then, yeah.
Were you having unprotected sex?
I suppose so.
Okay. So you knew that unprotected sex would result potentially in a pregnancy?
The doctor had told us that it probably wouldn't work for a while, so it wasn't something that we thought would happen that fast.
Okay. But it did.
Yes.
How quickly? When did you get pregnant?
I guess July.
And right around this time is when you say the incident happened where Doug threw a gun at a wall.
He threw it at me.
Shot a gun at the ceiling. I think mm-hmm. you made several allegations, correct?
Yeah, he admitted to it, but yes.
What were you arguing about?
I think Eva was part of it. I don't specifically remember.
And wasn't it true that you had a problem with Eva and you thought she was disrespecting at that time?
I wouldn't say I had a problem with Eva. There was a lot of tension in the house, but yeah, there's a lot of things going on that were not ideal.
You knew she was 15.
Yeah.
And you knew she had just lost her mother tragically to death.
Yeah.
And you were how much older than her?
9 years, 10 years.
And this tension surprised you?
No. I mean, at first he had told me that she was really going to love me and that she was ready to have a woman in her life and that he wanted me to move in quickly because she needed a mom. So he made it sound like she also felt that way.
And you had no feelings of your own?
Oh, I was excited to get to be her stepmom.
And you gave her a shadow box right around this time, correct?
For Christmas, so it would have been in December.
All right. And what was the shadow box?
Do you want me to describe it?
Yes.
It was like a small picture. It had like deep sides and like the glass was at the front of it. And there was a sand dollar that I had painted and decorated. And I put it on like a black cardstock. And I wrote a saying on it that said something about how like you can be strong through the storms and that, you know, seashells are beautiful things that come out of storms.
And that shadow box is the reason you were arguing that day with Doug, correct?
I know it came up at one point. I don't know if that was the reason.
And what was the problem with the shadow box?
Eva had taken it apart and I guess had thrown out the thing that I made and was using the picture frame for something else.
What was she using the picture frame for?
She had put a rose from her mom's funeral in it.
And that upset you pretty badly, didn't it?
It made me really sad. I'd taken a lot of time to make it for her and I thought it was special. And
you began crying.
Yes.
And you dropped to the floor and sobbed hysterically.
Probably.
You were so upset that she put her dead mother's rose in the shadow box.
It wasn't that. It was that she took it apart. I mean, I would have bought her another shadow box.
You went to Doug and said it was disrespectful that she took this apart.
According to Doug?
No, according to you. Went to Doug and said, she's acting disrespectfully. You need to handle her. She upset me. I'm crying.
I don't remember saying that about that.
Isn't it, in fact, what you were arguing about before this whole incident with the gun and the ceiling?
Is this relevant as it relates to the daughter?
Can you approach, please?
So the day that this argument happened, you actually, at one point, were in the car with Doug, right?
Yes.
Okay, you were going to the bank and going to do some other errands?
I believe so.
And the entire time, you're upset about this shadow box?
I don't distinctly remember. The argument kind of came from there, I guess.
And in fact, it wasn't an argument, right? It was you being upset.
He said that, like, life was out of control and he couldn't deal with the people at home and he couldn't deal with the people at the ballet. And he felt like everything was just too stressful and he was upset with everybody.
And didn't he ask you to stop?
I'm sure at some point.
And you didn't stop?
I guess not.
For the car ride? No. Yes or no?
I don't remember.
And you kept telling him you need to discipline Eva?
I don't remember saying that.
Okay. And he said, let's just stop talking about this for a while. I need to think.
He was yelling at me.
So he's yelling at you, but you weren't sitting there like you are now, were you? You weren't sitting there like this.
I guess I was buckled into the car, so I probably would have been sitting further back.
And you didn't stop. And then you get home, you're still arguing, correct?
He was still yelling at me, yes.
And you're not yelling at all. And the fact that he had a gun with him when you continued to argue in the house was because he grabbed the gun from inside the car to bring his items from the car into the house, correct?
I'm not sure why he had it, I guess.
Okay. And it was in a holster.
I believe so.
And you both used to carry guns.
Mm-hmm.
You carried guns on a regular basis.
Yes,
you
ma'am.
You have had, at the time, more than one gun.
Yes, ma'am.
And you actually bragged, as well as Doug, about having guns, correct?
Yes.
And you would go shoot them on a regular basis?
I haven't been to their range since before the presidential election.
Okay. But during the time that you met Doug at a political event, you had one of the guns in your bra.
Yes, that's where I concealed carried.
Okay. So having a firearm in a car or in the house is not that unusual to you?
No, ma'am.
All right. So after you decide, there's this argument that continues on and on and on and on. And you're still asking Doug to discipline Eva.
I don't recall that.
Okay. And you say he was waving a gun around and threw a gun at you?
Yes, ma'am.
So he has a gun in his hand, could point it at you.
He did point it at me.
But he throws the gun at the wall.
No, he threw it at me. He missed me.
Okay. And it hit the wall?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. When was this? What was the date of this argument?
at the end of June.
2017.
Yes, ma'am.
When was your wedding reception?
It was shortly after that, maybe like a week or two later. I don't remember specifically.
Okay. So even though you'd been married before, you were now having a wedding reception.
Yes, when we got married, it was just the two of us.
And at this wedding reception, you had a lot of guests come?
I'd say maybe a dozen. My friends and family came.
And they're dressed up?
Yes.
You're in your wedding dress?
Yes. Okay.
And I'm going to show you State's Exhibit 10. I want you to tell me what this is. Or I'm sorry, it's 100. I want you to tell me what this is. It's going to come up behind you. What is this a picture of?
That's a picture of Kevin, Christy, me, and then Doug.
And is that a picture from the wedding reception that we just talked about?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to show you State's Exhibit 101. What is that?
That's a picture of me and my friend Christy.
And is it at the same wedding reception?
Yes.
And State's Exhibit 102. What is that?
It's a picture of my friend Laura and me and then my friend Christy.
And this is also at the same reception?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. State, we move into evidence States 100 through 102.
Any objection?
I'm sorry, I missed it.
Any objection to States
no.
100, 101, 102?
No.
Received.
Thank you. And in States 100, are you scared here of Doug?
No, I would not say.
You said on direct examination that around this time you were living the nightmare. Those were your words, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Were you living the nightmare here?
Oh, no, not at that moment, no. That was a very nice day.
How about at this moment?
Oh, it was a good day.
And States 102 at this moment?
Same, it was a good day.
So you get pregnant and you decide to move in with your mother. So when do you decide to move in with your mother in Florida?
It was the end of August, I believe. I was really sick and he brought me down to my mom's house and dropped me off.
Okay, but going to your mom's house was your choice, right?
We decided together. He said that he couldn't take care of me. He was too busy and that my mom could take care of me better. So I was happy to go.
You needed someone to take care of you while you were pregnant.
I was really sick, yes.
Okay, so you moved down with your mother at maybe August. Of 2017, you said?
The end of August, I believe.
Okay. But there's still this issue of the injunction in South Carolina while this is going on, this South Carolina-Florida thing, correct?
I'm not sure I understand the
question. Well, you said you applied for the South Carolina injunction or you received the South Carolina injunction right around that time in 2017. Actually, I think you said November 2017.
Yes, a few months later.
So shortly after you move in with your mother, a couple of months, you file for an injunction in South Carolina.
Yes, ma'am.
And we talked about the fact that, or you talked with the defense about the fact that it was a mutual injunction.
Yes, ma'am.
So both parties agreed to stay away from each other, correct?
Yeah, I believe that it was for both parties to stay away.
No evidence was presented at this hearing?
I don't believe so.
None of your complaints were heard at this hearing?
There was like a written, like a filing.
But the judge, other than that, did not hear any evidence at the hearing?
That's correct.
All of that was forestalled because the two of you agreed, okay, fine, we will have this voluntary stay away order.
It was decided through the attorneys, but I believe that was, yes.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So the judge never found that Doug Benefield was dangerous and ordered this injunction?
I'm not sure what the judge found. I don't know what you mean by that.
There was never a court finding giving you an injunction other than you stipulated to it.
The judge ordered it, yes, ma'am.
Okay. And this injunction, actually, part of it says that neither party shall harass or threaten or do those types of things to each other.
Yes,
right?
Ma'am. Okay.
So then after you're in Florida, you get a package that you say was in violation of this injunction. And it's a birthday present, right?
Yes.
It's a tea set.
Among other things, yes, ma'am.
And you liked tea?
I like drinking tea, yes, ma'am.
You drank tea all the time with Doug?
Yes.
Okay. And you open this tea and you claim that it smelled so strongly that you automatically rushed it to the sheriff's office.
I didn't specifically sniff the tea. It was when I opened the box. The whole contents had a very strong chemical smell.
So you immediately rushed it over to the sheriff's office?
No, ma'am. I immediately sealed it up and I left it in my garage.
For how long?
I don't remember specifically. It was maybe a day or two. I don't remember.
It was a little bit longer than a day or two, was it not?
I don't remember.
So after this time goes by, you take it to the sheriff's office, and you claim that this was a violation of injunction, right?
It was, yes, ma'am.
And you also claim that this was all part of Doug's poisoning scheme to poison you and your unborn child.
Hazmat informed me that there was toxic chemicals.
I don't want to hear what someone else told you. I want to hear what you claimed, that this was part of his poisoning of you, plan to poison.
Well, based off of what I was told, that was the conclusion
yes
I came
no,
to.
Ma'am. Yes or no? What, according to the way you felt, this gift was a part of his plan to poison you.
It concerned me, yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
So no charges were filed for that, correct?
Correct.
So you filed for an injunction based on the same allegations, right?
When my injunction in South Carolina was getting ready to expire, yes, I filed for one in Florida.
Okay. So when you filed in Florida, about what time was this? What date?
I could give you a ballpark. It was in the spring. I don't remember exactly
spring
when.
Spring of 2018?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So you had left Doug in South Carolina August of 2017.
Yes, ma'am.
And you filed for an injunction in the spring of 2018.
That sounds right.
But you hadn't been living with him, correct?
Correct.
You hadn't even had any contact with him for a very long time when you filed for that injunction, right?
Well, other than him sending the box and, yeah.
Okay. So what violence were you trying to prohibit by filing this injunction? Everything that happened in South Carolina.
Well, I was just hoping that wouldn't happen again.
Okay. And at the same time you did this motion for an injunction, you also did a motion to terminate Doug's parental rights, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So during this time that you haven't been with him in almost a year, at least half a year, there hasn't been any violence other than you say the T said, you're filing for an injunction all at the same time that you're trying to terminate his parental rights. This is all correct, right?
Sounds correct,
okay. And you hadn't even had the baby yet.
As of when?
As of the time that you were trying to terminate his parental rights.
I don't remember what the date was, but okay. it would have all been around that time.
And then there's the hearing that goes on for this injunction, right? And this is in front of Judge Moreland, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you had a two-day hearing on this?
Yes, ma'am.
Partially, it was a motion for your injunction based on these issues, and it was also Doug's motion to be able to see his child, right?
I believe at some point things got consolidated, but I don't recall specifically.
So at this point, Doug had not seen his daughter?
Correct.
And your daughter was how old?
As of the date, like the last court date?
Yes.
About 6 months old.
And had there been any violence towards you between the time that you filed for this and the time when you had the hearing and she was 6 months old?
He had showed up at night in my driveway, but I mean, there was no physical contact, if that's what you're asking.
Okay. And was this a time when they were born?
I don't remember the date of when he was in the driveway.
How about, since you were talking about this, let's talk about the incident you talked about where the neighbor said that there was, that Doug was there. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, ma'am. He was outside standing in the yard at night, I guess trying to look in the windows of my house.
And where's this neighbor's house?
She is directly across the street.
Okay. And isn't it true, in fact, that this was very dark? It's very dark out.
Yes, ma'am. It was at night.
Okay. And your neighbor told you that she saw someone in her backyard walking, correct?
That when she confronted him, he kind of ran away.
Okay. She never told you he was at your window.
What she said was that he was trying to look in the windows.
In her yard.
The way the houses are situated, where he was standing, looking across into the windows of our house. Yes, ma'am.
And she couldn't see who this person was.
Object.
She told you.
She's asking Miss Benefield about what the neighbor knew.
Overruled.
She told you she could not identify this person.
She said by just looking, as dark as it was, she had a hard time identifying him by his face, but that she identified his voice.
That's interesting. So let's talk about that. So when she tells you that there's somebody in her backyard, you go to her house, right? You end up together with her.
Yes.
All right.
Not at her house, but yes.
And you play a recording that you've recorded like a voicemail from Doug for her, right?
She believed it was Doug, and she said that she could probably identify his voice because he had a unique voice, and so I played a voicemail I had from him, and she identified him.
The fact is, she didn't tell you she thought it was Doug. You just asked her if it was Doug.
I believe she contacted us and said that there was a strange man looking across into our windows, and she was freaked out, and she wasn't sure if it was him.
Okay.
I don't remember specifically. I'm sorry. This is a long time ago.
And you play a recording of Doug's voice for her.
Yes, ma'am.
And she goes, oh, that's him.
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
The one that was there.
Yes, ma'am.
So that is the ID that Doug was in her backyard.
I believe she also described his body type, his stature. She said he was wearing a baseball cap, which he often did. So I think that was
a lot of people wear baseball caps.
She needs to
before she cuts her off.
I've been able to follow along, so I'll overrule at this point.
There's a lot of people that are 5'9", right?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
A lot of people that weigh 160 pounds.
Yes, ma'am.
A lot of people that wear baseball hats.
Yes, ma'am.
And isn't it true that this person in the backyard said to her, I live around here. I live here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I believe so. I wasn't there for that part, but that's what I believe she told me.
Thank you. Now, I want to move forward to 2019. Around this time, Judge Moreland had already ruled that you could not have your injunction, right?
She denied it, yes, ma'am.
And that Doug could have immediate visitation with his daughter.
She ordered timesharing, yes.
Did you start visitation with Doug and Emerson very shortly after that hearing?
Yes, according to the court order, yes, ma'am.
And you decided you were going to go with him on this visitation?
I offered, and he said he would be glad for me to come, so yes, I went.
This person that you lived in a nightmare with, you decided to go with him on this visitation?
Yes.
Now, the Judge Moreland hearing, when she ruled, she made it very clear that she did not see your side.
Sustained.
You had no faith that Judge Moreland was going to help you from that day forward.
Overruled.
You had no faith that Judge Moreland was going to help you from that day forward.
I don't know. They'd say I thought she would never help me, but, I mean, she denied the injunction, yes.
So you go for this visitation along with him and Emerson, and that begins sort of a, I think Stephanie Murphy called it like a honeymoon period or a happy period, peace. Would you agree with that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So during this time, you spent a lot of time with Doug.
Yes.
And a lot of time with Emerson.
Yes.
And you weren't scared of Doug at that time?
He was being very kind.
Okay. So you weren't scared of him at that time?
No. I had things at the back of my mind, but he was being very kind.
So then around summer of 2019, you actually make arrangements with Doug. He's going to move into your mom's house.
He wanted to move in, yes.
You actually agreed to that?
Not specifically. He didn't really ask my opinion. He told me.
Okay. And then the date that he was supposed to move in, you made plans with him, correct?
Hold on a second. Sir, who's crinkling the paper? Is that Mr. O'Keefe?
I was drunk.
Sir, can you please stop? Thank you. Go ahead.
So during this time, you're speaking with Doug.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you're talking with him about moving into your home.
He was insistent that we needed to move in together.
The answer is yes or no, please. You were talking with him.
Interrupt the answer.
If the question calls for yes or no, the questioner has the right to expect a yes or no, or I don't know, or I don't recall, as opposed to a narrative.
You were speaking with Doug about him moving into the house.
Yes.
And about his things being moved and when they were going to be moved.
Yes, I'm sure.
And at any time during this, did you say to Doug, no, you're not moving in?
Yes.
You said no.
I'm sorry?
You told him, no, he cannot move in?
Yes, that's why he ultimately didn't move in, as I said,
okay.
I can't do this.
Isn't it true that, in fact, you didn't tell him no, you just weren't available the day he was supposed to move in?
No, that's not correct.
Okay. So you're saying the day he was supposed to move in, he knew he wasn't supposed to move in? Is that what you're saying?
We had a conversation that day, and I told him that I didn't want him moving in.
Okay. And then you did not take his phone calls. You would not speak with him. I think the word was ghosting. You ghosted him.
I don't know whose word that is, but that's fine. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. But visitation continued.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And you continued to exchange custody of Emerson where? The sheriff's office? Or?
I believe at that time we were doing the sheriff's office.
And sometime around this time, you show up to this visitation with an engagement ring on, right?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Who is Dennis Beatty?
Dennis Beatty.
Beatty. Who is that?
He was a gentleman I dated at one point.
And it was during this time that you were dating, right?
After we, I told him not to move in, and then we started just doing time sharing with Emerson. Yes, after that, there was a period of time where we dated. Yes, ma'am.
And isn't it a fact that Doug filed for a divorce after one of these visitations?
I'm not sure when he filed for a divorce specifically.
He filed for divorce after he knew that you were dating this other man, right?
I'm not sure when he filed.
How did he find out? Did you tell him you were dating him?
No, ma'am.
Okay. How did he find out?
I think he was stalking me.
It wasn't the ring on your finger?
It was not an engagement ring.
Well, it was a ring. Did he see the ring on your finger?
I'm not sure what he saw. I wear rings all the time.
Okay. So Doug files for divorce, and all of a sudden you file for, well, you start a bunch of complaints about his treatment of Emerson. What you say, his bad treatment.
Well, she started coming home hurt.
It's a yes or no question. Did you file complaints about his treatment of Emerson?
Yes.
Okay. And you eventually filed for another petition to get an injunction based on those incidences that you claim happened with Emerson.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you complained about the first time and nothing was done. Is that correct? With the police, no charges were filed, nothing was done?
I'm not sure specifically what you're referring to.
The first complaint that was made
about
Emerson and Doug, you agree that you made allegations.
Yes.
More continuing coverage is on the way.
The Black Swan murder trial of Ashley Benefield from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Press subscribe now.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack. There's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.